In our society at large, we don't really have any parallel to what we do here at church. People do gather to sing when they're drunk, and people gather for certain kind of karaoke events, but you know what? Those things are looked on as kind of strange and weird. And so societally, it's easy for us to look at singing as being a little bit abnormal, a little bit strange. So why do we sing? Well, we gather to sing because, first of all, God commands it. Throughout the Scriptures, time and time again, God gives the command to sing. If you read through the Psalms, you'll see again and again and again admonishments to the people who are worshiping God to sing. It's also a reflection of the Spirit of God within us. The book of Ephesians chapter 5 says this, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." We sing because we are full of God's Holy Spirit. And being full of the Spirit is reflected in our singing. And notice in that verse he says, singing and addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, throughout the Scriptures, there's a variety of different kinds of songs. Here it's mentioning a song of admonishment and exhortation towards one another. There's other songs in the Scripture that are directed directly towards God. And so we sing different kinds of songs, but they are a reflection of our being full of the Spirit of God. And it is an integral part of the worship of God throughout the ages. It's an integral part of the worship of God throughout all ages. The first time that the song seems to be mentioned that I could find was Miriam's song. The people of Israel had been delivered from the land of Egypt. And then, remember, they'd been pinned in against the Red Sea there. God opened up the Red Sea for them. They walked right through the middle of the Red Sea. And then Pharaoh's army chasing after them was drowned behind them. And the people of Israel rejoiced in the Lord and expressed that joy to God in singing about this great act of deliverance which God had worked for them. Then as we go through the rest of Scripture, we see again and again and again references to singing. It reached a particular high point during the life and reign of David, who wrote so many of our Psalms. And we see the Levitical singers of his time singing as they made the sacrifices and offerings to the Lord. So we sing as a reflection of God within us, as a step of obedience to God. A friend of mine once asked another friend, "What do you call a church that doesn't sing?" And the other friend said, "Disobedient." And that's absolutely true, isn't it? If we are not singing, we are not living in obedience to God. So, first of all, why do we sing? Secondly, why do we sing the songs that we sing? Why do we sing the songs that we sing? Well, first of all, we want to sing songs that are theologically accurate. They reflect the truths of God's Word. They reflect the teaching, the doctrine of Scripture. What we sing, we meditate on. Singing is an outstanding way of meditating. What we sing gets drilled into our minds. And we think about it again and again and again. So our songs shape our way of thinking. We want to pick songs that are going to shape our way of thinking after the Scriptures, after the thoughts of the Lord. So the songs that we sing should reflect Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8 talks about what we should think about. Think on things that are pure, that are lovely, things that are of good repute, good things, things that reflect the nature of God. Those things that we should think about are the things that we should sing about. And so first of all, we desire to sing what is theologically accurate. Secondly, we desire to sing songs of a musical style which are distinct from the decadent world around us. Songs which are of a style which is distinct, distinctively Christian, distinctively designed for the worship of our God. We desire that our music reflect a genuine love for God. So frequently in our day and age, we easily adapt or adopt the world's methods of worship and try to adapt them fit Christian lyrics into them, and then sing them. By doing this, we reflect an admiration for the world's methodology. We reflect an admiration for the world's way of thinking. We desire that our way of thinking be distinct from the world, and our worship be distinct from the world, and demonstrate true love for God, which is distinct from love for the world. Jesus Christ, or God, said in 1 John, He commands us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love for the world and love for God are distinct, separate things which are mutually exclusive. We are so accustomed to analyzing music from a humanistic perspective. We are so accustomed to analyzing our music from a humanistic perspective, with a consumer mentality. Is this music pleasing to me? Do I like this music? Does it fit into my style? How does this music make me feel? How does this music affect me? And it's man-centered. Instead, we desire as a church to select music for our worship here, which is honoring and glorifying to God. We should be, there are many questions that we should be asking of our music. For instance, does this music reflect God's nature? Does this music exalt and glorify man? Or does this music exalt and glorify God? What is the purpose of this music? Does this music reflect the nature of God? Does this music reflect the holiness of God? God's holiness. Holiness is separateness. God is separate from all that is sin. God is separate from all that is evil. The second commandment is a prohibition against syncretism. Syncretism in worship. Taking aspects of the world's worship and mixing them with aspects of worship of God, mixing them together to create something new. That's what we call syncretism. We desire that our music not be syncretized, but that it be distinctively Christian. Distinctively Christian. Most of the popular musical forms of our day have been designed from a humanistic perspective, not to honor and glorify God. They are pagan in origin. Many of the popular music forms of our day are pagan in origin. And just a little bit of research will bear this out. We stand against revamping pagan worship forms by introducing Christian lyrics to them and using them in our worship. Book of Haggai, chapter 2. Haggai is speaking to the remnant, those whom God has preserved through the midst of the time in Babylon. And he's brought them back to the land of Israel. And they're living in Palestine, and God is sending messengers to them because they're not really doing what God wants them to be doing. They've become lazy, they've become lax, they've become syncretized with the peoples that surround them. God says this, on the 24th day of the month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet. Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask the priest about the law. If someone carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches with his fold bread or stew or wine or any kind of food, does it become holy? The priest answered and said, no. So this is based in the Levitical law. Here we have a piece of meat which is set aside for God. And if we bring this piece of meat which is set aside for God, and we touch with it something which is not set aside for God, does that not set aside for God suddenly become sanctified? And the answer is no. And think about how this applies to our music. Think with me how this applies to the music that we use here in our church. A second question. Then Haggai said, if someone who is unclean by contact with a dead body, again, based in the Levitical law, touches any of these things, does it become unclean? The priest answered and said, it does become unclean. Then Haggai answered and said, so it is with this people and with this nation before me, declares the Lord, and so with every work of their hands. What they offer there is unclean. We desire that our music would be clean, acceptable in the eyes of God. We desire that the sacrifice of our lips to God, expressed in song, would be acceptable to Him. The sacrifice of our lips to God, we desire that that be acceptable to God. As God's people, we must learn to discern between the clean and the unclean. As God's people, we must learn to discern between the clean and the unclean. So, we desire that our music be separate, be distinctively designed for the worship of God. Be distinctively separate, holy, sanctified, set apart for God and for His purposes. Not a copy, not an imitation, not an expression of admiration for the world and its music styles. We sing in obedience to God. We sing what honors God. And second, and thirdly, how do we desire to sing? How do we desire to sing? We desire to sing, first of all, joyfully and energetically. Joyfully and energetically. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord all the earth. And make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. It's okay to sing loud. It's okay to sing loud. God admonishes us to sing with a loud voice. Let's see if we can fill this whole room up with the praise of our God. We desire to sing humbly. We desire to sing humbly. You know, singing requires an aspect of humility. Because our society looks on it as a little bit strange, and naturally so, it requires an aspect of humility to humble yourself and to sing boldly before the Lord. It requires that we forget about ourselves. If I'm just thinking about myself, I'm like, oh man, I think I hit a wrong note. And you know, we do need to concentrate on it. We do need to try and sing the very best we can. But let's sing for God. Let's forget about ourselves and be humble before the Lord and rejoice in our God. If we sing in pride, if our song is done in pride, we can be sure that it is resisted by God. Because God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So first of all, joyfully and energetically, with a loud voice, humbly. And then lastly, and this is the most minor point, but we desire to sing in tune. We do desire to sing in tune. Now, I know some of us are saying, you know what? I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket if I stuck my head in the bucket. Well, that's fine. Sing, because the mandate is to sing. God's command to you is to sing. But it's worth some of the time of your life to invest in learning to sing well. Learning to sing in tune. We desire that it be a reflection of the orderliness of our God, and we desire to sing in tune. But sing. So even if you can't sing in tune, sing, sing loud, sing strong. What we do here in the church, I desire that it come into my home. We desire that it go, that it reach into our home, that there be continuity between the music of the church and the music of the home. If you have a pen and a paper, I'm going to give you a couple of resources quickly to bring good and godly music into your home. First of all, I'd recommend abidingradio.org. Abidingradio.org. It's a great little internet radio station that plays sacred music, beautiful music, and music that we really believe is very honoring and glorifying to God. And it just comes streaming into your house. We use our computer as our stereo anyway. So we just click on that, and it's just peaceful music to honor and glorify our God. And the second reason, and that's free. I mean, you don't have to pay a thing for it. You just click on it, and it plays for you. Then, another resource is sacredaudio.com. You have to buy the stuff from them, but they have albums that you can download for a fee on your computer and then burn onto CDs or put on your MP3 player or whatever you want to do with them. So those are two outstanding resources to get good music into your home. If you're listening to those things and think, you know what, this is just slow and boring and not very exciting, keep listening. Keep listening to it. I encourage you to keep listening to it, because we have been so bombarded with godless music. Everywhere you go, you are bombarded with godless music. It takes time to develop a taste for music which honors and glorifies God. It takes time to develop that taste. Keep listening. And may God be honored and glorified in our worship of Him through music.